Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
When the wounded soldiers began coming home from the battlefields of Iraq and Afghanistan, it became immediately clear that while advanced medical technology was saving lives, prosthetic technology was still stuck in the dark ages. The federal government made significant investments in the development of advanced artificial legs and arms, and those investments are beginning to pay off. An advanced modular arm was announced last week. There are numerous robotic legs available, but these expensive high-tech breakthroughs are of no help to the millions of amputees in the developing world. As part of its mission to bring engineering to bear on the problems of poor countries, the American Society for Mechanical Engineers awarded first prize to a low-tech, low-cost prosthetic design targeted specifically for the developing world. The winner is NonSpec, a startup company formed by students at the University of Massachusetts. We spoke with Jonathan Perez de Alderete and Aaron Keeney.
The device that we have actually undercuts the cost of the average prosthetic by tenfold, and that actually allows financially 80% of the amputees to have access to our product.
And why would it be that the developing world would get your product, whereas the industrialized world can have customized prosthetics? We've seen since the Iraq and Afghanistan wars all these, you know, robotic legs and runners. Oscar Pistorius is called the Blade Runner. Is there a disparity between what the developed world gets in a case of an amputation and what the industrialized world gets?
Very much so. And I think part of the problem with that is actually the fact that the cost for those limbs is incredibly, incredibly high. A prosthetic leg can range from $15,000 to several hundred thousand dollars depending on the quality of the limb you're looking at. And so if you're looking at someone like Blade Runner, the cost of his limbs is just completely out of the reach of the normal person. And so it's really a challenge to get your material costs down, get your design costs down, and really make your device mass producible so we can even get a volume cost down.
And it's really making sure that we meet the needs of the areas that this will be in. So taking in electricity considerations and cultural considerations has been a big part of this.
How do you design something that will work as an arm and an elbow and a leg and a knee?
So the forearm and the upper arm and the thigh and the lower part of the leg are pretty much the same components. We can change the angle with different plates, and that adjusts with the size. But the body is pretty...
It's pretty uniform in how things behave. The elbow and the knee are different components, and so they behave in a – depending on how you need them, we've got a cam-tracking knee and a locking elbow is what we call them. So those actually do get swapped out depending on what the person needs.
And for the hand, what kinds of a mechanism are you using so that people can grasp or hold or manipulate things?
When we designed the hand, we designed it as a platform. So inside the hand, there's a hollow space, and that hollow space can either be wired with motors for people who want and have access to an electric system. For people who can't afford that or don't want that, they can get a cable-driven system, and so you swap out the motors with a special cartridge. And then for little kids who the cable system's not quite what they need, we have a ratchet system, so it's basically just some meshed gears that they can position the hand themselves with their other hand early on. So you get the functionality you want based on either how much you're willing to pay or what you need in your life, more so than just having one fixed base.
And for adults, I mean, you could actually swap out a whole different set of prosthetics way beyond simple hand imitation. I mean, you could put a power drill on there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We encourage that, actually. I mean, really kind of when you're looking at people, it's silly to stay in one space and be like, well, it has to be this. It's just a matter of you can do whatever you want now. And so that it's really kind of an open
having
platform.
That universal device that lets everybody do what they want to do.
Yeah.
And our key with the hand was to offer a base package that has that human shape and human motion that puts everyone back at ease with their device.
Can you manufacture this very easily anywhere in the world? Does it require very specialized manufacturing techniques?
Not at all. If we wanted to mass produce, you're looking at – you would need access to an injection molding machine. And so to take consideration to that, we actually designed the whole thing to pack flat. So we can actually ship a kit anywhere in the world who needs it. And it's about a 4-inch by 4-inch by 6-inch package. It's a very small package, and that holds the entire limb.
Jonathan and Aaron, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Aaron Keeney and Jonathan Perez de Alderete, two of the four non-spec team members who won first place at the American Society for Mechanical Engineers' 8th annual iShow late last month.